welcome to the Well and Well podcast. I'm your host, Susie Clark, and I am a corporate dropout who spent 6 years in banking and technology in sales roles in London. And I just got totally fed up with working long hours, horrible commutes, and sitting in the same desk chair every single day. I got so fed up with it that I quit my job and moved to Bali in Indonesia. And I'm now dedicated to helping others achieve this lifestyle through remote work opportunities. And I really just want to spread the awareness around this and inspire you to live life on your own terms. So this podcast is all about sharing stories from remote workers who are fortunate enough to have crafted a life for themselves where they can make money and travel the world at the same time. So if you're listening now and you're sick of your 9-to-5 and you're fed up of your commute and you want the freedom to travel, then this podcast is for you. There are so many incredible opportunities for you to live life on your own terms and earn a living, from freelancing to becoming a digital nomad to getting a remote job and traveling the world as well. These ways of living are all possible for you. And through my guest stories, you will learn what is possible and the tips on how to get there. We're all incredibly lucky to be living in a time where technology enables us to travel and earn a living at the same time. The traditional work contract of exchanging time for money and working in the office is no longer a good deal with so many other incredible opportunities out there. To be well in life, you need to do some wild things. Hello everyone, welcome to series two. I'm really excited to share with you this little intro to series two today. It's going to be a solo episode and it's just me chatting about what you can expect from series two and a little bit about the changes that I've made, because we're going to be going in a slightly different direction for series two, but I think you're going to love it. So to all of my listeners who listened to my podcast in series one, thank you so much for your support and listening. I really appreciate it, and you know, we've grown the numbers so much over the last 24 episodes, and thank you so much for sharing it and yeah, just being super supportive. And I want to continue to bring you some amazing episodes from amazing guests on series two. So what can you expect? So as I mentioned, we're going in a little bit of a different direction, but still on the same theme of defining your own version of success. So series two is all about the concept of working remotely. So series one was all about people in corporate jobs who decided that they felt a little bit limited or unfulfilled in their corporate job, and they ultimately ended up quitting and starting a business and achieved their, what I call their own version of success. And we had some amazing inspirational people on there who had those kind of stories. In series two, I want to go one step further and I'm going to be sharing stories from people who have done just that, quit their corporate job, started a business, and traveled the world as well. So this group of people are commonly known as digital nomads. But it's important to understand that a digital nomad and that kind of person isn't necessarily just an entrepreneur. It's not just entrepreneurs who are traveling the world. There's other groups of people as well. There's freelancers, so people who have learned a skill in corporate and then decided to contract to get their own clients. There's also people who have remote jobs. So some companies, I know Buffer's one of them that's purely remote, and a lot of engineers engineering jobs are offered as remote jobs. So they have a salary like, you know, like a normal corporate job, but they're allowed to work remotely, which enables them to travel and kind of design their own life that way. And I just think that having spent the last 6 years in London, I don't think there's enough awareness about what is possible in this area. And I know when I speak to my friends and lots of people my age and people in their 20s, travel is so important to us. And obviously, as a typical millennial, experiences are more kind of important to us than material possessions, and travel comes under that umbrella. And I think when you consider having a corporate job and average having 25 days holiday, you're really restricted in terms of how much travel you can take. But I just think that given the technology that we have these days and the systems and processes that a lot of corporate companies already have in place, they support a remote way of working. And why not embrace that and let more of your employees do that to enable them to go and fulfill their travel goals and dreams as well? And obviously on top of that, you know, some corporates won't do that, but if traveling is something that you want to do, or moving abroad is something that you want to do, then entrepreneurship and becoming a freelancer is also possible for you. So the guests that I'm getting on here are people who have done just that, and I'm going to talk all about their kind of transition phase, because yes, it can sound really far-fetched, you know, saying I want to go and have my own business and I want to move to Bali and I want to go and travel the world at the same time as running my business and living the laptop life. You know, that can sound like an amazing dream, but actually putting it into practice can be really, really difficult. And there's a lot of practicalities you've got to get over, but there's also a lot of mindset stuff that needs to take place to be able to for you to be able to make some decisions and commit to that kind of lifestyle. So through my guest stories on series two, I'm going to show you how it can be done and also just spread the awareness on what is actually possible. So 2019 has been a pretty major year for me, and some of you might already know this, but if you're new here, you probably won't. I quit my job in February, quit my corporate job. I used to work for a fintech in sales, and I then also made the decision to move to Bali. So I've started my own coaching business and obviously this podcast. And yeah, in September, I took the leap and packed up all my things, condensed it down to three suitcases. I really tried to get it into two, but it just didn't work. And took a one-way flight over to Bali. And I'm now living in a place called Canggu. And if you haven't heard of Canggu, it is a hub for a lot of remote workers and entrepreneurs and this term that you hear, digital nomads. And that's really topical because series two is going to be all about this type of work and being able to work remotely and being able to travel the world at the same time and the different ways that you can do that. I just really want to share these stories because I think it's incredible that there are people living like this over here, and it's obviously the norm. Everybody's doing it around here, and I realized that spending 6 years in London, it definitely wasn't the norm, but I don't understand, you know, why it can't be. And I want to inspire this movement of people who are going to be working in this way. And since I've been in Bali, I've kind of been reflecting on what it was that meant that I didn't really ever feel like I fit into the corporate world, and I didn't really like staying still. And so I'm just going to go a little bit into my story to kind of explain it to you and explain the background of why I'm doing this in series two. So when I graduated, I was fortunate enough to get a graduate scheme at a Wall Street investment bank. So it was a pretty sought after job. As a graduate, you were positioned to be kind of a future leader of the bank, and this clear career path with a lot of status and very large potential financial reward. But 3 years in, and I decided that I wasn't happy with the job, and I decided to leave. And it was a really, really difficult decision, but I just couldn't help but feel demotivated by certain kind of cultural elements of working at such a corporate place. So like many of the rules felt like dated and unnecessary, really. And it was things like conforming to wearing certain things, looking a certain way, things like having to make myself known in front of certain seniors. And I just felt quite uncomfortable with kind of the weighting that was applied to some of these things when performance reviews came around, and I personally felt that, you know, the biggest weighting should be on your performance and on the money as a salesperson, on the money and the revenue that you're bringing into the bank, and the strength of your relationships with your clients. That was what was important to me, but I felt like there was far too much emphasis and kind of weighting on some of these other things that I didn't kind of consider to be relevant at all to how I performed at the bank. And I just felt like a lot of that was kind of a bit dated and just not necessarily needed, and it just didn't sit well with me. So I ended up moving to a San Francisco fintech, and I kind of had hopeful expectations for more of like a trusting and modern culture, and it was definitely more modern, and I felt like the focus was more on my performance, which was great, and I had more autonomy. I even asked my manager if I could work from home once a week, because I'm super productive when I work from home, and sometimes in the office I get a little bit suffocated and I need to kind of take a step back away from the office and kind of use that time to open my mind again and refocus and motivate myself. But after a few months into that job, I still just didn't feel right, and I couldn't put my finger on it. I just didn't feel comfortable. I felt a little bit starting to feel bored, like getting itchy feet and kind of just thinking, I just felt suffocated again and started to feel quite unhappy and frustrated. And I just felt like, you know, I was asking myself these questions, like, what is wrong with me? Why am I not enjoying any of these jobs? This is life. Like, you've got to work. Like, come on, Susie. You've just got to do it. Like, there's no perfect job out there, you know? And I just thought that there was something wrong with me. And it just hit me that, like, oh my God, I'm just going to have to do this every day for the rest of my life. And maybe life just isn't meant to be that fun, you know? And that was just a really shit feeling. And I think it just, yeah, kind of spiraled a little bit, to be honest. And I feel like I kind of got quite low and maybe even possibly a little bit depressed, lost my confidence, and I just didn't feel like me at all. And it just didn't feel right. And I was thinking, asking all these questions, like, what is wrong? What is wrong in this situation? You know, I've moved to this company with a culture that suits me more, but I still felt unhappy. And it took me ages, but I finally realized that it was this concept of the office. It was working in the office, and it wasn't necessarily the specific office I was working in for my company at all. It was just the concept of the office. So I just hated working in an office, sitting on the same chair, on the same piece of floor every single day, in the same building. I just felt that suffocated me. And it's just so funny because we were all working on laptops using these incredible remote technologies. And I just think, reflecting on it, you know, you can do all the things in the world to improve company culture. You know, bright colours, put some beanbags in the office, give your employees free snacks. I've heard these things of sleep pods and stuff like that, and, you know, good socials. But the fact is that you are still subjecting yourself to spending most of your life in the same tiny part of the world, like day in, day out, when you have an office. And I think, being a typical millennial, I love to travel and I want to experience as much of the world as possible. And I realised that being restricted to staying in the office with 25 days holiday made that really, really difficult to, you know, kind of see out that dream. It was this realization that I was literally trading my time for money to then squeeze all my travel into like a tiny 25-day period a year. And the worst part was the realization that it was going to be like that for the rest of my working life. And that just depressed me so much. It just, you know, I wasn't motivated at all. And I didn't want that. And I didn't really know what my alternative was, to be honest. In today's technologically advanced world, it just doesn't seem like a fair trade-off to me. It just really doesn't. And I want to question that way of working now. I understand how it's been the way that you have to work in the past, you know, historically. But now I really don't believe that we have to work like that. And I just remember looking around the office when I had this realization and seeing everyone hunched over their laptops, headphones on, using some amazing remote technologies like Slack, G Suite, Google Hangouts, for example, Salesforce. You know, all our meetings had a Google Hangouts link in it, like to be able to join if you were working from home. We were all communicating with each other online, yet we were sitting next to each other in this same place, and it didn't make any sense to me. And in fact, the more I think about it, it's actually really stupid. You know, we're all working remotely in the office together, and I just feel like we haven't embraced the positive effects that technology has on our working lives. In a lot of other parts of our lives, we've embraced it, but you know, we are using these remote technologies, but not to their full potential. They literally allow us to work remotely. Why is the culture at work, why is it so important to be physically present in the office for a lot of these roles that don't really need it anymore? That is a big reason why I had to leave corporate, start my own business, and a big, big major reason as to why I ended up moving to Bali as well, because I wanted to see the world. I wanted to live in somewhere I perceive as being one of the most exotic and beautiful, kind of, well, just paradise, really. And I realised that I could go and live there. I could go and live there and make money online to support my lifestyle. And why not? The technologies are there for me to use and to put processes in and, you know, have a successful business. So why not? And I think a lot of people just don't ask themselves that question. Sometimes you have to question the rules of society and why we do things in the same way. And the other thing that you add on to it, which is even more insane, is the commute. So people are spending, you know, in London, at least an hour of their day commuting, 30 minutes each way, and that's a fairly good commute, to be honest, to pretty much sit in a cubicle and email the person 2 meters away. And I just think it's just insane, and our lives don't need to be like that anymore. Like, I mean, what's worse, the office or the commute? I really just don't know. That's a difficult one. But for me, I hated my commute. I'm only 5'3", so I'm perfect armpit height, which is absolutely disgusting because the tubes in London are gross. They're just barely air-conned at all. So yeah, it can be quite traumatic. But think about it, scrapping an hour commute, getting rid of 30 minutes each way, you know, if you minus holiday off of that, that's 220 extra hours a year, roughly. What would you do with that amount of extra time, an extra hour in your day? What would you do? You could take a yoga class, you could spend time with your kids, so if you have them, or your family, or your partner, or you could, you know, take time out for yourself. There's so many more things that you could do. These things can do wonders for your mental and physical health, you know? I just think that forcing ourselves to commute and trek to the office and work in the office all day is having a huge, huge pressure and negative effect on our mental health and physical health. And if we can take those things away and still be productive and still work, I think that we are going to be so much more healthy, you know, in our mind and our body. I just think being confined to the same space every day is inefficient, unhealthy, and just completely pointless in today's world. So I did some research into how the office was originally born, and it was originally born because it needed to handle the masses of paperwork that was generated by the Royal Navy. And this is paperwork, something that we're actively trying to reduce these days. You know, you see that little message at the bottom of emails going, please don't print this email, you know, all of that kind of thing. So this function of the office being a place where, you know, needing to sort out all the paper, it's redundant. It's not needed anymore. And so I've come up with this theory, and I just really, really believe that the office was born and created in a time when we didn't have technology and people needed to be physically together. And this is just no longer the case. So why does it still play such a huge part of our working culture? This is a question I keep asking myself. And I just think that soon it won't be. I think the reason that remote work isn't as mainstream today is because of the old, traditional, old school trails of thought, which I think will ultimately die out, because millennials will get management positions and we don't really share the same view. You know, we understand technology, we grew up with technology, I think we have a more trusting view of technology, and we believe in looking after ourselves and our mental health and things like that, and anything we can do to help that will make us more productive and ultimately increase the return on investment for the company. And I just think that pressure of millennials realizing that is going to put pressure on employees to offer remote working as a mainstream element to a contract and in negotiations for jobs. I think we need to ask ourselves, what value do we place on our freedom? And I think that, you know, soon employers will need to change the rules, change the ways of thinking to compete for talent, because we're going to demand it. Remote work will become the norm. And I'm not necessarily saying that everyone will work remotely and there will be no offices. I think there are some benefits to having an office and going in occasionally if that's something, that's an environment that you enjoy working in. But I just don't think that there should be this rule of people being judged if they work from home too much, or people going away for 2 weeks and traveling and working at the same time isn't a normal accepted thing by most employers. And I think that should change. We're living in a time where we stay connected to our work, friends and family anywhere in the world. We can do that. We have the opportunity to experience freedom at that level that many of our, you know, our parents and their parents didn't. Why would we choose to sit in the same chair, in the same position in the world day after day if we didn't need to? And it is happening now. Many companies are embracing location-independent workforce. Buffer, for example. I've seen Stripe are doing a major push for remote working. There's studies that show that productivity increases when you let your employees work remotely. It's not even having a negative effect. But I do believe that, you know, one day we'll start to see less offices. I think a lot of your traditional kind of skyscraper offices they'll be forced to turn into apartments, and it will be more of like a kind of hot desking environment for people traveling to that, you know, that particular office for meetings or whatever, and remote working will become mainstream. And I think that's only a really, really great thing for everyone involved. People will become more productive, the company benefits, and the well-being of the employee will also benefit because their mental and physical health will be better. And also a lot of people want to travel the world and they're able to do that. I now live in Bali, where I get to see beautiful sunsets every day. I've been meeting some amazing inspirational people from all over the world doing incredible things. And I can work on my business wherever I want to. And I just couldn't feel luckier. Like, there was a time when I just thought that was a dream and it wasn't possible. And it is totally, totally possible. And I'm so, so grateful that I was strong enough to question and reject that kind of societal norm and shift my thinking to enable myself to come here. And through Series 2, I want to inspire you and educate you on what is possible and allow you to shift your thinking as well. And I'm going to be doing that by bringing some incredible people on, remote workers, people who are working for some amazing companies and traveling the world at the same time, freelancers, so they've picked up some amazing skills through their time in corporate and decided to leave and consult on their own, get their own clients, and that's enabled them to go and live abroad or travel the world as well. And also entrepreneurs who have built their own businesses and they are traveling the world at the same time, or it's allowed them to move somewhere that they've wanted to, and people that are just generally making the most of remote working because that's how they want to live and it supports a lifestyle that they want to live. I'm just going to end on the fact that we should all feel incredibly lucky to be living in this time where technology enables us to travel and earn a living at the same time. And through this podcast, I'm just calling out to you to wake up to this fact and make the most of it before it's too late, because you are able to do this now. And we all need to realize that. And if we have a dream to travel, if we really want to see the world, it's not a matter of career versus seeing the world. It can be done at the same time. I can't wait to share these amazing stories with you. I think you're going to be so inspired, and I'm really excited to kind of create this movement of remote working and allow people to live their dream of traveling the world and at the same time have an amazing, amazing career or business. And the episodes are going to focus on the guest story. So similar to Series 1 in the sense of the transition period of them realizing that they were kind of stuck in a job that they didn't like, and what the steps they actually took to take themselves out of that, and the personal development that they actually did to allow themselves to set up their own business or go and get a remote job or facilitate this new kind of lifestyle for themselves. And I'm doing that so that you can listen to their expertise and the things that they did to take that away and apply that into your own life. And we're also going to have a couple of episodes where we're focusing on different topics that are relevant to a kind of nomadic or remote working kind of lifestyle. One of them is dating, so I'm excited to kind of share that with you, because I think there's a lot of people out there, especially living in Western cities, who, especially London, who have a dream to travel, and they would just love to quit their job, move to Bali and work freelance or start their own business or have a remote job, but they won't because they have these beliefs that aren't necessarily true and they're not serving them. And some of those might be that, you know, they'll put off meeting their future partner by doing that bit of travel, and it's just not true. So I'll be bringing on some certain episodes to kind of tackle some of those beliefs and myths that people have around this kind of lifestyle. So I am excited to share that with you. But the first one will be coming next Sunday, so stay tuned and make sure you hit subscribe on whatever podcast platform you're listening to, so that you can automatically download the episode and you won't miss any future episodes. So have an amazing week, and I will speak to you next week with our first guest.